Marconi.
I've got like a giant high ass.
Nick.
It is fat, fatter, and fattest.
Tiny.
I got male titty milk. I have a gallon in my freezer.
Marconi, Nick, and Tiny.
25 hours of original content.
Back together.
Greetings, podcast compadres. It is I, Bolognese Francine Marconi. I want to crush at life so hard that when I die, they retire my social security number. And that's my only, that's really my main goal.
What?
And now a man, he just wants to be famous enough that his death will be announced by a quote unquote publicist. Say hello to Nick Miles.
Hey, good morning.
Whoever dies first, Nick, I think should announce the other one's death.
Yeah, that's only fair.
Because that way it'll seem professional and like, listen, I'm sorry to bring this bad news. It is through tears that I have to tell you that my friend, Nicholas J. Miles, has died last night in his sleep.
Yeah, you probably want to start with something like, a 22-year-old friendship is over, and it's been great.
Right. Well, you.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me crunch the numbers real quick. You've been friends for 20 years, 22 yeah. years, so someone's been to die.
You got that, did you?
Someone's been to die right now.
That was calculated.
And he's not afraid to ugly cry in his car while eating gas station hot dogs. Say hello to Tiny.
Oh, you woo. Saw me. They're so good, though.
You know what's weird is I don't know the last time I actually have had a gas station hot dog, but I have a friend, Kevin, who will eat any of those. Like, he'll go in to a convenience store where they have those rollies on the thing that look like they've been there for 10 years, and he'll, like, give me as many as you got, Johnny. And he'll just go to town.
Does it have to be a gas station? Because I find, you know, just regular convenience stores hot dogs as scary as a gas station.
No, either. Well, I mean, I guess there's the same thing, right? Essentially.
Yeah.
It's the same meat.
They've been there the same amount of time.
They come from the same meat family.
Yeah, it's the same meat paste.
It's part of the same strain as salmonella.
Well, I almost forgot to say the beginning thing so we can actually start the podcast. Years ago, we had a radio show, and because of the shift in the Earth's polar axis, we have reunited to save the world. So now we are back together for your entertainment.
I have a beautiful butthole. I don't force my poops, I let them happen. I don't force my poop, butthole. I don't force my poop. I kind of was on my bed, and I pointed my butthole to the heavens. I don't force my butthole.
Yeah, when you were doing the intro, I had a whole Rice Krispie treat.
I just want to know, because we always like to start the podcast, what's new and what's going on with you? Anything new this week, Andy?
Yeah, I saw exactly 17 and a half buttholes at work.
I'm more interested in the half than I am the 17.
Wait, hold on a second. I have to say, if you've listened to this podcast, this series of episodes, you'll know and understand, I don't believe there's been one episode where the word butthole or someone's butthole has been described or talked about. And we are here to keep that streak alive.
Yeah. Andy, last week after the show, Marconi called me on the phone and he told me the things that we do on the air. He says, both of you burp on the air. You belch on the air. You eat on the air.
And I don't
talk
mind
about buttholes and poop.
I don't mind the burping. I was just saying, like, you know, say, like, if you listen to, like, the Howard Stern show, and not comparing myself to him at all, but in this regard, one person on that show burps. On this show, I have two burpers, and they're not me. And it's the greatest, like, who is burping? Who is burping? Where are you?
I'm so comfortable.
With the brothers belch.
Right. You're tag team belchers. I mean, you're tag team eating champions. You're bound to belch once in a while, right?
I couldn't do it.
Andy was supposed to join in, but he's belching right now.
Man, yeah. I thought I knew the sounds of each of your throats.
I can't do that on command. I don't know how people really? Fart and burp
you
on command.
You can fart on command.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can.
No, I don't know how
you're
to suck air
so
in my
full
butt.
Of gas.
Well, yeah.
I think we're less than 2 minutes into the podcast and we're already mentioning buttholes. And it's we got to keep that streak alive.
Give the audience what they want. That's what I say.
I mean, or it's my reality.
It's you know, at this point, it's become a comfort thing for our podcast. If we can't talk about buttholes, then why do it at all?
There's a lot of nerve endings there.
Yeah. No, so you've seen a lot of buttholes this week at your job. Nick, how many have you seen in yours?
I don't think I have seen a butthole this week.
I don't believe that.
He can't answer it, but you know, we know.
Yeah, he's under contract.
Do you ever get to that point? This is what happened to me last night. I get so excited the day before recording our podcast, and I have all these ideas in my head. You know, I told you last week that I was dreaming of Andy and a wig. And it just, you know, some vivid ideas come to my head, and I start thinking about things and start cackle laughing in my near sleep. Well, last night I couldn't sleep. So what I like to do when I can't sleep is I go out to the living room and lay on the couch for a while. And my cats, they're only 1 year old, so they're basically kittens, you know, like they're just a little older than a kitten. They look like little fuzz bots, and they jump on me immediately, and then they get into like a little cuddle ball, you know, because they're brothers, so they were born in the same their mom's inner guttural meat. So they come from the
what?
They come from inside the same thing. So they've always been together. So now that they, you know, and they're now 1 year old, they still cuddle like they're inside the womb, and it's the cutest thing ever. But they do it, they cuddle up to me like I'm the Lion King or something, you know? And so it helps me to get to sleep when I can't. And last night, I don't know why, because every time they cuddle me, I feel like the mama that needs to sing. And I started singing, "Hush, little babies, soft as silk. Daddy don't got no titty milk. If that titty milk fills my holes, Daddy's gonna squirt it in your bowls."
Whoa. I just started lactating. So that is it's amazing.
And then I had a great night's sleep, but I woke up thinking about titty milk. I don't know. And why can't I, as a cat dad, offer that to my kittens, my babies?
Yeah, why not?
Nick, do you know any scientific reason why?
No, I'm just trying to think of it. You cannot explain it to man or beast.
Right. And not that I necessarily want to have lactation going on in my life, but I think we've discussed this before. I feel like the man's milk ducts are a waste because we're not.
Say it again.
The man's milk ducts are a waste. They're just sitting there barren, you know? And they have all the, I mean, Andy, you know, medically, men have all of the gear, right, to make the milk, don't we?
Yeah, we could. Yeah, absolutely. Right now, we could do it. But no, our body says there's something in there that's not quite wired right.
Well, you can give them hormones and it'll happen.
Oh, yeah, really? You could. Yeah, you give me some estrogen and I'll start lactating.
Okay, well, maybe that's what I need. A little. just for a little fun during quarantine, you know. How about a little titty milk?
Could you imagine bringing that to the table? Oh, what'd you learn? Knitting, underwater basket weaving. I can lactate now.
Male titty milk.
I got male titty milk. I have a gallon in my freezer.
Yeah, you know, a lot is happening with our various podcasts. I think we have like 1,000 side podcasts. You can find them all at backtogetherpod.com. We have a Spotify playlist every week. Andy has really found the best use for it, I feel, is you use it for pooping.
Oh, it's the best. It's a great timer. Everything's nice and even. Like, it just works out so good. It's
when
perfect.
I'm adding music, while I'm curating this playlist, all the while I'm thinking of you pooping.
Oh, God.
Oh, well, boy.
But I mean,
if someone just tuned in and heard that.
What does your therapist say about all this?
I know at least Andy will be listening to this. If no one else does, Andy will hear this. And so I have to think of him.
Yeah, I'm honored. I'm flattered, to be honest.
So you can listen to that. There's a lot of different music going on there. We also stream on radioalternate.com, which is also an Alexa app feature, like a skill. You can just say, Alexa, play the alternate radio, and things will happen, and magic will arrive, and a robot lady will say our names, and before you know it, you're listening to some of the highlights from our podcast. It's just, it's kind of magical.
I love it.
And the other thing is if you go to backtogetherpod.com, not only can you send messages to us, I'm thinking of asking listeners to start giving us like their ID, like, hi, my name's Steve. I listen in Gresham, Oregon, and you're listening to Back Together, something like that. You know, kind of like stuff we used to do on the radio. Maybe we'll ask people to do that in our Facebook group. If you haven't joined that, make sure and do that. What else? Oh, so we have several side podcasts, like so many now, smaller portions. Andy was on another podcast talking about this. It's essentially like the highlights from this podcast that maybe you're one of those people that doesn't have, you know, 45 minutes to an hour to check out the entire episode and you just need highlights in your life. That's fine. Smaller portions is the thing for you. You can search smaller portions on any platform or go to backtogetherpod.com. And then we have what was left out. And that was sometimes we run out of time or just the flow of an episode doesn't, you know, really feel right to jam another segment in. So I take it out and I say, no, we're going to save this special for what was left out. And one of my favorite ones now is Andy's preparing how to be a guest on other podcasts and shows. And that is, we learned so much and Nick had great advice. And I feel like, you know, that was a really good, you know, segment. Did it help you when you were actually being interviewed, Andy?
Yeah, it made all the difference because I wrote notes and I referenced back to them.
Because you were on You Are That is the name of the podcast, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of the hosts is your friend, and you were great on it. I don't know, Nick, did you get a chance to listen to the episode that he was on?
I also listened to him live doing it because he was in my studio.
Right. Here's the thing. I hear him, and I'm like a proud daddy. Like, I'm like, oh my God, my son is all grown up.
He, you know, and one thing I noticed from the podcast, you seem to be a little more than friends with at least one of those girls.
Nick, grow up.
But the thing was, is when I'm listening to this episode, they were asking you great questions and it reminded me so much of things that I maybe had forgotten or has been so long since we'd talked about that I was like, oh yeah, he used to chase his brothers and sisters around his parents' house and turn the hose on them, like inside the house.
Yeah, take that.
And the reason you hate mayonnaise, that was pretty, I mean, if it was me, I completely understand now. And then I remember for a bet payoff for like a Super Bowl something, you had to eat an all mayonnaise sandwich strained through a sock on our old show.
Yeah, that was, I was so bad. I remember that.
And I remember.
Oh, God.
It's just like all these things come flooding back when I hear these stories. I'm like, man, you know, he has some great stories. And I just thought, you should have a book with all the stories you have and not just our radio stories. You know, like we have a lot of stories together, but you have stories before baloney.
Pre-balonious.
Yeah. Your childhood is fascinating to me.
A lot. It was very busy. There was a lot going on. I've been through some pretty unique situations.
But you really learn to appreciate Andy just by knowing this little thing about the reason why he hates mayonnaise. It's a window into why he might be exactly the way he is. You know, like it just tells you a lot just from this one little story. So I highly recommend it. And I guess, well, we can put a link in the description of this episode to their podcast so you can easily find it. And it's called You Are That. And it's a really good podcast. And thanks to them for having you on.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I'm going to send them a little gift box as a thank you.
I
I've got like a giant high ass.
What a visual.
Is it one of those things where you have to spread them and show them Old Glory?
But also on the other hand, I'm now going to be the butthole guy.
Snakes and tongues and women wearing bits of string.
Get up right now for some snacks because we'll be right back.
If you haven't figured out the internet by now, get out.
Yeah, backtogetherpod.com. That one.
You know the internet is my nemesis.
25 hours of original content.
Backtogetherpod.com.
The fact that none of the episodes have made me go to therapy. That's my favorite part.
I really enjoy the fact that sometimes even we don't know what we're talking about.
Find previous episodes and more at backtogetherpod.com.
There's no need to bring your brain here. With COVID and quarantine and sports coming back, I mean, I don't watch a ton of sports, but I am a casual enough sports fan to care and know when sports are on and stuff like that. And I've been watching baseball and basketball both with no crowds. And I don't know
That's
if you've
so
seen
weird.
It. Yeah, it's just especially now I watched the Blazer game against who are they playing? They're playing Houston the other night and they won. But I get a few of my friends were actually on the screen there and it's like a whole thing. I don't even know. It's like they have some kind of software that puts you in certain seats and you're watching the game on your screen and you're being, it's like a Zoom chat thing that shows up in the stands.
Yeah. It was super weird. People just appeared out of nowhere and it's like, they had this weird look on their face. Like they smelt something really and people were eating. Like, you know how weird it is to watch someone eat in virtual reality. It's so weird.
And I think about like for the players, does that enhance their game? Because I don't know, in my mind, like, I know they feed off the crowd's energy. Who doesn't, you know, when you're in some kind of a situation where there's a crowd. But does it really matter if that's just for us to watch, right? That's just for us to see something on the side. And I guess it's kind of entertaining, but it's, and maybe because it's just new and it's kind of the new normal, I guess, for now. It's just weird.
I don't like it. I can't. I'm sorry, man. I can't. I get it. I know. I mean, and to be honest, on paper, that's creative as to me. Let's try something out. It's just so weird. I can't, man.
At the same time.
I watched like 5 minutes.
At the same time, what is stopping us from getting an invite to that situation? I mean, Nick, you're a pretty powerful guy in the media industry as far as Portland goes.
Yeah, Nick's a mob boss. Don't let him tell you anything otherwise.
Yeah.
So you want me to get us invites to the no audience sports games?
Yeah, I mean, because it would just be, because basically it was just, it's, have you seen it? It's just it's like virtual seats. And
yeah,
they project.
I know. I have a rule though about sports games. I only go to sports games A, when there's a box, and B, when there's a buffet.
Well, you can have your own box and your own buffet at your home.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Nick, I'm going to come over and wear my comfy pants.
There you go. There it is, right there. And you and Tiny can create your own suite where you have all of the foods of buffet. And then, you know, hopefully, because the goal, obviously, would be for us to be able to sit together in the thing. And I'll just watch, you know, I think we should.
Because you can be there and you can... You have the delivery services. You can get a whole chickens, and we can have a chickens and Blazer night.
It'll be chicken and Blazer night. Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
I'll
bring the weed.
Or perhaps the
Blazing Chicken Night.
But yeah, the Blazing Chicken Night. Puff, puff, pass. Don't f*** it up.
Yeah, right, exactly. The basketball one I like much better than the baseball one. The baseball is just weird. Like, because they don't do, like, a virtual. They just do, like, cardboard cutouts of sometimes. And I think the thing that kind of creeps me out is the sound effects they use. Because everybody's saying, it sounds realistic. But being a production guy, an audio production guy, I recognize some of those sound effects. I notice it way too much. And it's distracting.
It sounds like an episode of Looney Tunes.
Right? Yes. And how that's got to be weird for the players to sit like just hearing that over the speakers. I mean, at the same time, I'm glad they're at least playing because I mean, when it comes to baseball, I need something to take my afternoon nap to.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's a good point.
Because basketball, I need to watch because there's action. Baseball is like one of those, like, okay, I'll just close my eyes for a minute and I'll listen to the announcers tell me what's going on. And then it's, then I'm sleeping, you know, and I wake up and it's like the end of the game and I feel like, oh, well, that's about right. There's my nap.
Do you sleep with a certain pillow?
For a Betty by time, I have my bedroom, my pillows in my on my bed. And then and sometimes I take a certain, like the thickest pillow I have out to the couch.
Yeah.
And
of course it's the thickest one.
And I don't know why, but it works so much better on the couch than it does in the bedroom.
Are you a back sleeper with your mouth open or on your stomach?
I try to sleep on my back all the time. Just because that way I don't pinch off my flank. But you know, if you,
I thought you were going to say something else.
I try to sleep on my side, like sometimes just to change it up a little bit, but it always ends up like where I feel like I'm cracking my sternum.
Oh,
so
you're cracking your sternum.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have the pillow between, the legs so I can straighten my spine area. But then whatever reason, I hug I have another pillow that I hug, and then I hug that too tight, maybe. I don't know what's going on there.
You are a tight hugger. When you latch on, you latch on.
So maybe that's what it is. And then I feel like maybe I do that too tight. And then maybe I'm having a really vivid dream where I'm being chased or something, you know, something weird. And so maybe that's what it is. But I wake up and I always feel like I have some kind of weird sleeping pain, you know? Like,
yeah, as well, because it's you're choking a pillow out for 10 hours. Like, of course you're going to be sore. Like, yeah, maybe choke someone the f*** out, dude. Like, go to sleep. I'm not wrestling with you, man. You have all these nights and all these hours of you just choking the s*** out of something. You probably have some, like, weird strength that's not even heard of.
That I don't even know about.
Yeah, you just turn into f***ing Hulk. No wonder your sternum hurts because you're choking the f*** out of it. Like,
oh my god,
that would be your finishing MMA move, dude. Pillow choke.
Yeah, go to sleep. Go to sleep.
It sounds like you'd be doing that in your dreams too. It just doesn't stop. Like, no matter what angle you look at, you're just consistently choking the out of something.
It's very sad. You know, Wilford Brimley, the man who brought us diabetes, passed away since the last time we spoke. And I mean, I didn't even, he was 80, but I always thought he was 80.
Yeah, I've felt like he's been 80 for 20 years. And to be all the way transparent with you, I thought he was already dead. This was
you
very
have
shocking.
Wilford Brimley Quaker Oats bars in your snack box and you're not eating them.
Out of respect.
you gotta throw some out for Wilford. Now, yeah. And by the way, I do believe as he dies, he also takes the Wilford name with him. I don't believe there's I've never met a baby named Wilford. Have you?
Not a one.
And it makes me sad because he was a really great actor. I don't know if you remember him as the Postmaster General on Seinfeld or not, but I posted something on Twitter saying, you know, he was really great as the Postmaster General on Seinfeld, hashtag RIP Wilford Brimley. And the quote was, "It's the job of the general to, by God, get things done." And that was the line. But I didn't realize this because, you know, on Twitter, there's a lot of different people that I've met and learned and become friends with over the years. And one of them is none other than Spike Feierstein. And Spike he's a writer for things like Letterman, SNL, and Seinfeld. And he actually wrote that episode with Wilford Brimley. And I guess he said, "I put an exclamation point at the end of this line in the script, hoping Wilford would shout out at Kramer, making him cry and us laugh. Wilford wouldn't shout. He said, the line was more threatening when underplayed." Spike said, I didn't agree, but when the episode aired, he was right. And he was. If you watch that episode, when he says the job of the general is to, by God, get things done. And Kramer cries because he's sitting in that interrogation room with the lights on him and stuff. And he's like, okay, general, whatever you want. Because basically what he was trying to do is stop, because everyone hates the mass amounts of junk mail you get. And it was so funny. And just the fact that, like, that little thing where he wanted him to shout, but Wilford was like, no, I can completely imagine working with Wilford Brimley in that way.
Great. I'm just looking at, then Nick pulled a picture up of the scene, and even just the picture is pretty powerful.
Yeah, right.
And just to let you know, that's probably like 25 plus years old, and we still get a crap load of junk mail.
Right, exactly. And also, he popularized diabetes. I mean, how much did you know about diabetes before he started saying it, you know?
I went and got the diabetes so I could get education from him just to figure it out. He's so smart and slick with it.
But because of him, you're now able to live with it and keep it in check, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm good. I'm good, good.
Thank you, Wilford Brimley, for saving my friend Andy's life. In Cocoon, you were fantastic. I thought you were 80 there. Andy thought you were already dead. What you did on that episode of Seinfeld was amazing. I'm trying to think. Oh, he was also in The Natural. Remember in The Natural?
Oh, yeah.
And so many other shows and movies, he was kind of everywhere. And then, of course, his work with Quaker Oats.
He was Quaker Oats.
What they should do to honor him is, I don't know if you remember this, but I used to say that the Quaker Oats dude looked like my Aunt Marquita with a white wig. And I'm sure she's honored with that. But it did. I just, you know, when you see a face and you're like,
that's, she had the same mustache.
No, not Wilford. I'm talking about the current Quaker Oats, the white dude with the powdered wig or whatever.
I'm glad you said that.
Oh, you thought I was talking about my aunt with Wilford Brimley mustache?
Yeah, I was thinking your aunt would be pleased to look like Wilford Brimley.
No, I'm saying the face of the actual Quaker Oats guy the box looks like my aunt with a white powdered wig on. But I'm thinking now it's a good time to retire that and forever preserve Wilford Brimley as the Quaker Oats man.
Yeah.
I'm all in. Who can we write? Do we write our congressman, or what's going on there?
You probably write to Quaker.
I'm going to email Quaker. I'm going to at Quaker real quick.
Yeah, let's just get at him on Twitter. You know, it was funny because as we were preparing for the podcast, Andy sent me a photo of us at one of our Portland radio stations. We used to do these summer shows called Big Stink, and the concert was always a huge thing, you know. And I think this one in particular was done, what do they call where the Timbers play now? It changes every few years, so I never know. And I haven't lived in Portland for a while, so I think that's where this picture was taken, right, Andy?
Yep, exactly.
It's the greatest photo. Not only is it great of you, you have your glorious goatee and you have a full on mohawk, because we used to go ham when it came to these shows, you know, because that was like our first chance to get in front of a bunch of people. I mean, when you're talking like closer to 15,000 people, I'm guessing. And that's a lot of people to be in front of, you know? So you would go out, you'd get your hair did, you'd put on a new wig and, a new shirt. You try not to be as sweaty as you normally are. That's just how we did. And this one, and we'd always take photos with everyone in the crowd because it was our one chance to meet a bunch of listeners at the same time. And this photo is me and Andy in the crowd, I believe. I can't tell if it's in the
with
crowd.
With the commoners.
And I think a bunch of shirtless guys. I don't know if these are your friends, Andy, or if they're listeners or what they are.
They're friends.
And then you can see me. I don't know what's going on, but I'm leaned into you. it's a really good picture of you. I look like some freak. I've got the goatee. My hair's really short. And then I look like I've got like a giant high ass.
It's so high.
I've got a giant high ass and back flank. Like,
you look like you stop, like you wipe your ass up the middle of your back.
And I
you
don't
can give yourself a pat on the back and pet your butt.
It looks like I've got back titties.
I want to grab them.
Definitely a high ass.
I wonder if I had back titty milk too. I wonder if I had that possibility. But now, this is a photo your brother took, and unbeknownst to me, maybe I knew, I don't know, he is behind me, gyrating doggy style, behind my giant high ass. And,
yeah. And you've forgotten how that felt?
Dude, that looks like all the small guys in the club that are dancing with the girls with the high ass. He's just trying to get drinks bought for him.
He looks, and even though I knew your brother was there with us, this photo, it looks like he's photo bombing us and and going in behind me. And it's hilarious because, and the other thing is, I believe your brother and I are about the same height. And in this photo, my ass is the middle of his, my ass is in the middle of his chest.
So, you know, I can also notice a few other things. There's two other interesting things about this.
Yeah.
One is, I think that's Ty's head behind Andy. So not the girl with her back to Andy.
Right,
but
right.
That's Ty behind him. But the chick to the left of Ty, whoa, she's a wrestler. I wouldn't like to get into a fight with her.
And I can't even tell if that's a girl or not. It looks like there's some chin hair there.
It's a girl with big breasts. A man with big breasts, if it isn't a girl.
Are you sure you're not looking at my back flank?
No. Your back fat?
Oh, my God. But I do believe, if I'm not wrong, this was the big stink where we had, like, it was like a camp. We set it up like a campsite. Now, remember, Tommy Chong was there with us. And Cypress Hill was there with us. Uh-huh. And a couple other bands. I believe Saliva, maybe, was one of them.
Was that the one that was Loveline there?
You know what? Adam Carolla, I think Dr. Drew was there.
I think, didn't I take Dr. Drew back to the airport?
You're right. That's right. And it's crazy because I'm thinking about this. The place had to be evacuated because one of those propane tanks went off in one of the trailers for the guests because they had like propane.
I think it was during Cypress Hill.
Yeah, and I remember this photo brings back so many memories besides the back flank. Thank you, brother, for that. Like, and for the Rogering, you know. It is pretty classic. And then, honestly, there's nothing better than, like, I'm being goofy, but then your brother's just, like, taking full advantage of that high ass.
He's grabbing that, dude, like you guys are at the club, I'm telling you.
Right, right, exactly. And I think it may be in that situation. I was looking for some reason why my ass would be in the middle of his chest, but there's nothing there that...
No, not at all. And if you look at him, he's like squatted down to get the optimal angle up into the high ass.
Right. Oh, I'll definitely have to thank him for that. But I remember you, I believe, partied with Cypress Hill, right?
Yeah, we were on stage. Well, I partied with them back in the trailer before they went on. And then I went on stage with them and I was smoking with them. And when all that stuff happened, Be Real asked me, like, hey, dog, like, what's going on, man? Is popping off or what? And I was just high as kite. And I had no idea. Like, I don't know, man. I got to get out of here, man. I don't know. It was crazy. It was so fun.
And I kind of, because I lived right in that neighborhood. That's when I lived, that grocery store where we used to get our whole chickens and have 24-hour chicken night. And and I believe it ended and I just walked home. And I was like,
you just left?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, okay, I guess it's over. Bye.
I know. We usually would travel in a pack with our giant entourage, and
yeah,
Marconi just dips. Just I'm out of here.
I guess I made ghosting a thing before it was a thing. I don't know.
Yeah, we were all looking for you for a minute. I didn't even realize you could just walk your ass home. Like,
that was before. Like, I mean, I think texting was a thing, but it wasn't like there weren't smartphones, so you had to do that thing where you would hit a button and it would be A, B, C, D, and you had to,
yeah.
you had to keep hitting it.
That text.
Yeah. So like nobody was like, you know, hey, I'll see you guys later or anything like that. It was like in those situations we knew there's no way I'd get a phone call through to somebody. So I'm like, I'll just talk to them later. So I think
I'm just going to leave.
Just like, so I guess that was the first time I ever ghosted.
I don't blame you, man. Shit was blowing up. People were crazy. There's a bunch of white people screaming. I wanted to leave too. It was horrible.
I don't know. Do you have anything that you remember, like when celebrities would come into our radio show or anytime they have? Sometimes they might request water, and they might leave a cup behind, and maybe they'll sign it. I know Lit was in our studio one time, and they signed a vodka bottle that they drank while they were on the air with us. You know, we've had a lot of different things like that. Have you ever had anything like that in your possession that you, for whatever reason, ended up in your personal stash at your house or something, and you just kept it?
Not that I can think of. I don't think so.
Nick, what about you?
I can't think either. Like, that's an interesting question. You got me, like, going through my memories, filing cabinets.
As I'm surrounded by signed posters of B.B. King and
Yeah, but none of Sting. These are... I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, so, my situation is I've had several dealings, you know, over different radio stations over the years. And even more recently, in Chicago... We had this sound studio where artists would come in and perform live. So you'd kind of get an intimate performance. And sometimes you'd actually have more than just a casual conversation. It would be like you'd kind of see each other for 2 or 3 hours during the day. So you'd kind of get to know each other a little bit during that time. And so you just get to talking. And one of the guys that came in was Brendan Urie from Panic at the Disco. And, you know, he's gone on to do a lot of other stuff. And, you know, the song with Taylor Swift, and he's a great dude, and I love Panic at the Disco, and I love him, and it wasn't even something that I meant to happen, but the radio station would provide, you know, like they could give us a writer from the band, and then we'd provide, within reason, certain things. So if, like, Brendan Urie and Panic at the Disco wanted towels to towel off with, we just go out, you know, to Costco and buy them a pack of towels so they have during their performance at our radio station, and they can keep
fresh
whatever
towels.
Yeah. So he had this pack of towels, and a lot of times they would just leave them in the green room and then, you know, go about their day. And then usually they have a performance.
Oh,
that
you've
night.
Got sweaty towels, haven't you?
Well, I didn't even mean to do it for myself, but I knew one of my coworkers was a big fan of Brendan Urie. And I was like, hey, I don't know if you knew this or not, but this is a pack of Brendan Urie's towels that he either used or didn't use. They're opened, so I don't know, you know, and there's a couple on top, so I assume they were the ones that were used. I don't know. So I put them on this person's desk, and then 2 weeks later, I found out that she didn't work at the station anymore.
Oh, man.
So I grabbed them, and I put some of them in my backpack, and so I have in my possession some of Brendan Urie's sweat rags.
Sweaty towels.
Oh, do you roll around in them?
Well, you know, you'd think, right? But I put them in my linen closet, like with all the other towels that I use for whatever. And I didn't even think anything of it. And then the other day I was cleaning and I realized I was using I was wiping like the refrigerator down and wiping the floors down and doing this deep cleaning. And I look down and I go, where did I get this black towel? And where did this come from? And I'm like, oh my God, this is
Brendan Urie's sweat tail.
It's one of his Brendan Urie's sweat rags. And I'm using it to clean my apartment. And now it's just a regular towel within my cleaning rotation.
No, what a flex.
I would just keep using it as a cleaning towel.
I do.
Yeah, just put it in rotation. And it's a cool story to tell. Like, next time you have a girl over, be like, you know, guess what you're touching.
Right. And you know what's funny? Even though I have used it on accident for cleaning, and I decided, well, if I've done it already, I might as well keep doing it. It's just a towel. It's not like, it's literally just a black towel. I could be completely making the story up. Nobody would ever know because there's no certificate of authenticity, like with a photo of Brendan Urie wiping his crevasse with his towel or something before he performs. But I do put it in the wash on cold so it doesn't fade.
Oh, I bet that'd be a song lyric for him. I wash it in the cold so the colors don't fade.
For a living.
I was looking at fading colors.
Isn't that how you do it? You put it in cold wash, right?
I think so, but it's also the detergent you use. If you use a harsh detergent, it'll suck the colors right out.
I use Persil.
Oh, funny, so do we. We're a Persil family. Persil.
Wait, I didn't know you were... That's an English laundry soap, right?
Yes, it is.
Wow. Well, at least you're... I mean, you may not be drinking high tea, but at least you're using the right laundry soap.
So the question is, why are you using an English laundry detergent?
Because it smells amazing.
Well, yeah. I mean, I like the smell of England.
It doesn't smell like England. It smells it smells like everything is good in the world. Like it's just, you know.
Again,
you know,
it smells like England.
No. Doesn't England smell like pee?
Yes.
Be honest. No. You're thinking of France. Oh.
You know, we've done so much today, so much damage to our ears, to our minds, to our memories. Is there anything in the world, Andy, that is good that's happening with you personally or something you've heard about that you can share with us?
The women in my life are fantastic.
Oh.
I may or may not be, yeah, about that. There we go.
And Nick's comment is to belch at you. I believe Nick has belched now at least six times during this episode.
Yeah, he's full of it. I believe that we are winning the war on the coronavirus in my rural town that I do medicine at. And
just a radius around the building that you work in, or?
Yeah, we've defeated coronavirus in a 30-foot radius around the clinic.
Nice. Okay, cool. Yeah. You got to start somewhere.
I have been helping plant the seed of a community, and the family trees in Estacada now have roots and branches.
Uh-huh, right. I'm very proud of that. I'm so happy that somebody is listening.
And I'm really attractive.
Well, that goes without saying. I mean, you know what I mean?
I just want everyone listening to just be reminded of that no matter what you do today, I'll be better looking.
Now, Andy, have you ever had people in your life try to make you feel like you're not pretty?
Absolutely not. You can carry your ass out of my life any moment. I the only people I want to be around, and the only people that I want them to be around is my friends to gas each other up.
Yes.
Why be your friend? Why be a part of my life if you're not going to be like, dude, you're the coolest, and vice versa? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Absolutely. I feel like that is so important. You need that. You need a network of friends that just make you feel good, and people who will be honest with you if you need it too.
Yep.
If somebody's not your biggest fan, then what are they even doing in your life?
That's why I have dogs.
Well, that's why I have kitties.
Is that your biggest
fan? And that's why I have you two.
Oh.
Get it?
I did just want to leave you with one final thought. Okay. Sure, eating when you're hungry is great, but have you tried eating your feelings?
I'm doing it right now.
Marconi, Nick, and Tiny. Back together. Find full episodes everywhere you get your podcasts at backtogetherpod.com.